Good morning. Happy Ascension Day, Ascension Sunday. The title of our message is The Ascension of Jesus Christ, The Ascension of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. That's Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The Ascension of Jesus Christ is the celebration or an acknowledgement of the literal bodily return of Jesus Christ to heaven. The Ascension occurred 40 days after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead. And Resurrection Sunday, Easter Day, is a day of celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, when Jesus came back to life. And we're going to cover three aspects of the ascension. Message today is entitled The Ascension of Jesus Christ, The Ascension of Jesus Christ. And our text is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And it reads with these words: The former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The ascension of Jesus Christ, a biblical doctrine, sometimes overlook, but Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. Christ was crucified on what we know as Good Friday, and on the third day he was resurrected. He rose from the dead, and that is the day that we call Easter, and he ascended to heaven 40 days later on a Thursday, and that Thursday, 40 days after the resurrection, is referred to as Ascension Day or Ascension Thursday. The celebration has been transferred to the following Sunday and is called Ascension Sunday, which is today. Easter for this year, 2020, was on April the 12th. Ascension Day was a few days ago, 40 days after April the 12th, and that was May the 21st. And today, Ascension Sunday, is May the 24th. We notice that Paul said to the Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, For I have delivered unto you first of all that I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, which we just read, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Ascension Day is a floating celebration that falls 40 days after Easter. If you notice, some years Easter's in March, some is in April. But Ascension Day always is on a Thursday. So therefore the date changes from time to time. And we also notice in Acts chapter 1, there are four references to Christ's ascension. In verse 2, it says, until the day in which he was taken up. And then in verse 9, it states, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And then in verse 11, states, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven. And then also in verse 22, it states, being from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us. So therefore, Jesus Christ returned back to heaven. He was taken up. In Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, talking about the disciples, he was received up to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51, and he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up to heaven. Oswald Chambers said this about the ascension of Jesus Christ. At his ascension, our Lord entered heaven, and he keeps the door open for humanity to enter. The doors to heaven are open right now. Encourage any lost friends, any lost relatives, any lost co-workers to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior so that they can enter heaven. So the first aspect of the ascension of Jesus Christ is the background of the ascension. And we'll find that in verses 1 through 5. The book of Acts is ascribed to the authorship of Dr. Luke. Luke said in verse 1, the former treatise. And what Luke was referring to, he was referring back to the Gospel of Luke, which he also wrote that book. He wrote the Gospel of Luke. And Acts is really a follow-up or a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Luke addressed both books to Theophilus. In verse 1 here, he said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Theophilus and Luke were very, very close friends. Theophilus means loved by God or the friend of God. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 3, Luke referred to Theophilus as most excellent Theophilus. So they were very, very close friends. Luke reminded Theophilus that Jesus' earthly ministry was coming to an end. And we notice here it said, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So what Luke was telling Theophilus, I'm going to refer you back to Luke's teaching. In the Gospel of Luke, we see what Jesus taught on the Beatitudes. Love your enemies, about criticizing others. Then he also did some teaching by parables. The parable of the Good Samaritan, about prayer, about the friend at midnight, and about the rich fool. But Jesus did some healing. He healed a paralytic man. He raised a widow's son from the dead. He also healed a woman who had been suffering with the issue of blood for 12 long years. And then he also healed Peter's mother-in-law. And Jesus did many other healings. So that's what it's in reference to when it says that all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We also notice that Jesus wrote to confirm the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. During the 40 days after Christ's resurrection and before the ascension, Jesus gave orders to his apostles. In verse 2, it states, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Christ went over and over matters that he wanted the apostles to know. And he gave them command by which to live. This is how you ought to live. This is how you ought to represent me. And then he said, you take this and you carry this message, carry my message throughout the world. I'm getting ready to go back home. And folks, while we are here representing Jesus Christ, we are to live for Jesus Christ. And then Jesus went to the Old Testament and taught the apostles about himself. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49, and this is what Jesus did, what he said. And he said unto them, talking about the disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So Jesus telling the disciples what the Old Testament prophets and Moses and in the Psalms concerning me, Jesus taught that to the disciples. Jesus gave his order to the disciples through the Holy Ghost. Find that in verse 2. While Christ was on earth in the flesh, he was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. He had to surrender himself and make himself available to the Holy Spirit. Think just for a moment. If Jesus Christ was totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, how much more should we be dependent upon the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit to help us to live right. We need the Holy Spirit because of the gifts and the favors and the power that he offers. I urge you to allow the Spirit to work in you and through you. In verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now that passion has to do with the suffering or the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then infallible, that has to do with convincing proof, sure sign, and way. How did Jesus show, or how would they convince him, proof that Jesus was resurrected? A few weeks ago, one of our Bible study lessons was on the post-resurrection appearances of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. Jesus appeared to the other Mary and Salome. Jesus appeared to Simon Peter. Jesus appeared to all the apostles. Jesus appeared to more than 500 believers. Jesus is alive. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. And Jesus rose again. Jesus Christ is alive. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, and he said unto them, be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. The lady went to Jesus, where he had been buried, with spices to embalm his body. But the angels said, don't be frightened. You're looking for Jesus, who was crucified, but he's risen from the dead. And then Jesus himself said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And then we also notice the command of Jesus Christ. While with the apostles, Jesus commanded them to stay put. Do not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. And what God has promised was the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the supreme gift of God to the believer. He or the Holy Spirit help us to know that he is needed to live and for us to be witnesses for God, to help us to be witnesses for God. It help us to live holy and blameless in righteousness for God. It also help us to understand that Jesus Christ is fully God, but he is also fully man. It also help us, the Holy Spirit, he help us to understand that the cross is the only way a person can be saved from sin, death, and hell. Jesus died on that cross, gave himself for our sin. That's the only means by which we can be saved, through our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins, that we might live forever. The man also helps us to understand that the man can live forever by being born again through belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Being born again, eternal life, eternal security. So we talked about the background of the ascension. Now we're going to take a look at the kingdom of God in verses 6 through 8. The apostle raised a question in verse 6. When they therefore will come together, this is another occasion to ask him, saying, Lord, and this is a question, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Why with the apostles they raised this question? They wanted to know, the apostles wanted to know, Jesus, are you going to establish your earthly kingdom at this time? At this time, in Luke chapter 19, verse 11, and to read with this word, and as they heard these words, he spake the parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So they were looking for God, for Jesus, to establish his kingdom then. And they raised this question, Jesus, are you going to do it right now? But we must remember that Jesus is going to set up his earthly kingdom. He's going to set up his kingdom on earth one day, someday. However, we are not to focus on the date setting. When Jesus is going to do it? We don't set dates. We know he's going to do it. Christians are to focus on service and ministry for Jesus Christ, proclaiming the glorious salvation that one can have through Jesus Christ and meeting the cry of a world buried in such desperate need. When is Jesus coming back? We don't know. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Only God the Father knows when Jesus Christ is coming back. And then in Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel, which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, but of the times and of the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Let us always be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let us not be unprepared, because it could happen at any moment. The imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you a member of the kingdom of God? Are you a member of the kingdom of God? In the Gospel of John, it tells us, chapter 3, you must be born again to be a member of the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus had a discourse with Nicodemus, recorded in John chapter 3, and we just read the first three verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you must be born again in order to experience, or in order to share in heaven, or in order to share in the kingdom of God. So therefore, to be a member of the kingdom of God, a person must be born again. The believer's task, back in our text in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Our task is the Great Commission. Great Commission. Leading others to Christ. Evangelism. Making disciples. So the believer's equipping power is the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is come upon you. The believer's task is to witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And by the way, verse 8, here's the last word that Jesus spoke while he was here on earth. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That means sharing the life of Jesus Christ with others, telling others about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A witness is one who shares what he knows. We're to share what we know about Jesus Christ. A witness talks about Jesus and not about himself. When a witness talks about himself, it is always about what Jesus Christ has done or is doing for him. Jesus Christ is the focus of our witness. A true witness for Christ talks about Christ's glorious character, his wonderful and marvelous love, and his saving power, his saving grace. That Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. A believer is to witness where he is, whether it's his home, the local community, and then we're also to get out into other communities, get outside of the four walls and talk about Jesus Christ, other cities, wherever we happen to be. Folks, you may have someone on your job that's lost. Get the opportunity, talk to them about Jesus Christ. Pass out gospel tracts, invite people to church. Talk to them about Jesus Christ. Let them know that Jesus Christ is coming back again. We did a Bible study a few weeks ago For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this lost and dying world. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe it. Witnessing for Jesus is the business of all Christians. Share Jesus, share Jesus. All Christians should be sharing Jesus Christ. Let another know what the Lord done for you. And Jesus is so good. He is an amazing God. He's a loving God. He is a wonderful God. And for the believer, he saved our soul and glory. Hallelujah. Question here. Who have you shared Jesus with lately? Who have you shared Jesus with lately? Call some lost soul that you may know today and share Jesus Christ with them. So we talked about the background of the ascension, the kingdom of God, and lastly, the ascension of Christ in verses 9 and through 11. And when he spoke of these things, while they beheld, or while they were looking, while they were gazing, he was taken up, and a cloud received him, or a cloud hid him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So the apostles, they stood there looking, they stood there gazing as Jesus moved up into heaven beyond the cloud, and they were just amazed with the light. Let us turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 52-53. The ascension of Jesus Christ is a blessing. Luke 24, chapter 50, verses 50-53. And he led them, this is talking about Jesus, he led them out for Bethany. And he lifted up his hand and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he departed from them and carried up into heaven. Jesus carried up to heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Jesus Christ went back to heaven just as he said he would. And they continued in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So to bless means to speak well of, to praise. So Jesus spoke well of the apostles. And Jesus, as Jesus blessed them. And folks, let us always speak well of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The ascension of Jesus Christ assures us that Jesus Christ is alive and that God is alive. God is alive and that God does exist. The fact that Christ was raised up from the dead and carried into heaven is only a miracle that God can do. Luke 24:51, it came to pass while he blessed them. He was parted from them and carried up to heaven. Only God can do that. Only God did that. The assurance of ascension of Christ assures us that heaven is real. Heaven is real. The Bible references here in verse 51, he was carried up to heaven. So heaven is a real place. Then also, the ascension of Christ proved that he is God's son. Let us take a look at Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And read with these words. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. The works of intercession begin with the ascension of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8, verse 34. And it reads with these words. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ makes intercessions for us. Said Paul said that Jesus is interceding for us in heaven. God has acquitted us and removed our sins and guilt. So it is Satan, not God, who accuses us. When he does, Jesus, the advocate for our defense, stands at God's right hand to present our case. God is for us. And then also, we notice the promise of Christ's return in verses 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparels, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. We notice here in verse 11, it states, this same Jesus. So the person, the promise is returned. Jesus Christ himself is coming back to take us to heaven. The certainty in verse 11, shall so come. Shall, it is a certain fact. It is a fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. Why? Because the Bible said so, shall so come. And folks, the results. We already read in Luke that for the believer, it is going to be joy. It is going to be joy when Jesus come back to take us home. Are you looking forward to going back to be with Jesus? And then to the unsaved, it is going to be great sorrow. Great sorrow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flame and fire, take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? The everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord that Paul described is hell, the place of eternal separation from God. In hell, people no longer have any hope for salvation. Those doomed to hell did want to know God and refuse to accept his offer of salvation. They will be allowed to stay away from him forever. Our Lord and Savior went back to heaven. He returned to heaven in bodily form. And he will return again to earth in bodily form. He went up personally, bodily, and visibly, and will return in the same way. The ascension is an essential part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He came to save us from our sins. And one day he's returning to take us home to heaven. Are you looking forward to spending an eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Jesus said in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also. Some wonderful promises there that Jesus Christ made to the saints. I go to prepare a place for you. And then Jesus said, I will, W-I-L-L, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where Jesus is, we will be there also. Jesus is coming again. Oh, familiar hymn. It says, lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims. Be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Are you listening for the shout? Jesus Christ is coming again. Are you ready to meet the Lord in the air? Are you ready for when the Lord shall come back? I urge you, do not delay accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. As Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the day, or the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Declare or make the day of salvation. That old Romans road. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, for God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I urge you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Admit that you're a sinner. Why? Because it said, as it is written, there's none righteous. And we need Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Confession of sin, Lord, you're right. I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. Call Jesus Christ. I confess my sin before you, and I accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that saving power for my sins. The great exchange took place at Calvary. Jesus died and took my sins. And as an exchange, we accept Christ's righteousness. I want to thank you so much for worshiping online with us. We pray that you will join us when we return to face-to-face worship, Core Christian Fellowship. We're located at 306 E. Jefferson Street in Quincy, Florida. Our church services, first, second, third, and fourth Sunday, beginning at 10:30. And our Bible studies on Wednesdays, beginning at 5 p.m. We thank you so much. And remember, you are always welcome at Corinth Christian Fellowship. God bless you.